Jesus said that the reason his disciples couldn't see the right results wasn't because they didn't have faith, but because they had unbelief. Today we're going to talk about how do you overcome that type of unbelief. This is going to help you, so stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. We're drawing to a close on our teaching about hardness of heart, and I've been teaching this for 4 weeks, and really there's a lot more that I could say, but I'm going to try and speed up and finish this up, and we'll go on to other things. But I think that this teaching on hardness of heart is a keeper. It's just one of those things that you need. You need it in your life, and not only the television or the radio programs that you've been watching or listening to, but you need to get this teaching so that you can saturate yourself in it. That's what we've been talking about. Basically, the way that our heart becomes softened towards something is to just focus so much attention on it that all of a sudden your heart begins to start perceiving and understanding and remembering and able to receive. And what you fail to focus your attention on like that, even if you retain knowledge, you still just begin to start getting layer after layer like a callus that hardens your heart towards those things. And this is what's been happening, is that we've been so preoccupied with not just sin, that's not the only thing that hardens our heart, but just natural physical things, that our heart as a result has become hardened to the supernatural things of God, just because we've been preoccupied with the physical natural things. So I was teaching this out of Matthew chapter 17, where the disciples tried to cast the demon out of a boy and they couldn't do it. They asked Jesus why they couldn't do it, and he didn't say it's because of your little faith. Contrary to what the NIV says, I believe that is a total wrong rendering. The very verse that it's in shows that that's wrong, because it goes on to say, here's what Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The point that he's making is you don't need big faith. There's not big faith, little faith. It's just if you have faith. Faith works if it's not hindered by unbelief. And that's the point that he's making. If he would have said it's because of your little faith, because I tell you, if you have just a little faith, like a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain, he would be contradicting himself. No, it's not a matter of little faith. You don't need big faith. Little faith is fine as long as there isn't unbelief that counterbalances it or negates it, dilutes it. It's actually more scripturally accurate to talk about strong faith and weak faith, like in Romans chapter 4, where it says that Abraham was not weak in faith, or he was strong in faith because he considered not his own body. It's right to use strong faith and weak faith, but little faith and big faith is really a wrong concept. That leaves the impression that some people just have lots of faith, other people have little faith, and that's not true. Every person has the faith of the Son of God if they've been born again. That's a totally separate teaching, but it's absolutely true. So it's the fact that we have this unbelief that hinders us. That's the problem. And I've used some examples about myself, how I believe for a person to come out of a wheelchair. And I know there was faith present, but I didn't see the right results. And when I didn't see the right results, immediately I was moved thinking, what's everybody else going to think? I've embarrassed this man. I've hurt his family. And I was sensitive to these other things besides God. And you know what that did? That was an inroad for unbelief to come in and hinder my faith. So it's really not that when you see Abraham in the Bible say that he had more faith than I've got. No, Abraham didn't have more faith. He had less unbelief. He didn't spend hours a day in front of the television. He didn't listen to As the Stomach Turns on television and watch that. And he didn't do all of these kind of things, but he was single in his focus upon the Lord. So much so that the Bible says when he was challenged by God to believe that he was going to have a child when he was 100 years old, it says in Romans chapter 4, he considered not his own body now dead. I believe that's Romans 4:19 or 20 right in there. He considered not. He didn't think about his own body. What you fail to consider, you become hardened to. What you consider, you become sensitive to. His consideration was all on God, and because of it, he was dominated by faith. Our consideration is primarily on the natural things. It may not be sinful, but it's just natural. And because of that, we are more sensitive to just natural things than we are to supernatural things. And that's what the problem is. Just like Jesus told his disciples, guys, it's not the fact that you don't have faith, it's the fact that you've got unbelief. I could go into a lot more explanation, but let me just say something quickly. I'm not going to take a long time to explain this. You could turn it over to Mark chapter 9 and read this same story of this that we were reading here in Matthew 17. It's the same instance, but in Mark chapter 9, it says that as they brought this demon-possessed boy to Jesus, that the spirit, the demonic spirit, tore him and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. Now, the King James calls it a lunatic spirit. To me, it sounds like it's something like epilepsy. And I don't know if you've ever seen a person with epilepsy have a seizure or something, but I remember when I was in high school, I was singing at one of our high school graduations, I think it was, or something like that, and I was in the choir, and we were on bleachers, and there was a girl right in front of me that we were friends. She was older than me, but she went to my church, and we knew each other. And she turned around at me while we were during one of these performances, and she looked at me, and she started foaming at the mouth, and she had a seizure and bit her tongue and just fell into my arms. And I tell you what, it scared the liver out of me. I had never seen anything like that before. If you haven't seen that, I guarantee you that will draw your attention to it. It's a scary thing. And my point in saying that is that when this boy was brought to Jesus, he had one of these seizures. I believe personally that this is what happened to the disciples. They had cast demons out before. They had seen people delivered, but apparently they hadn't seen this type of manifestation. They hadn't seen the Spirit tear somebody and fall on the ground and begin to convulse and shake and foam at the mouth. And you know what this did? It just summoned unbelief out of them. It took their attention away from the promise that God had given them that they had authority over all demons to cast them out, Matthew chapter 10. And instead of looking at what God had said, they looked at what they saw and they were overcome with unbelief. And this is what Jesus is saying. They're saying, why couldn't we cast him out? They knew they had faith. They spoke. Why didn't it work? He's saying, it's not the fact that you didn't believe. You had faith, but you were moved by what you saw. And this is how you were overcome with unbelief. Let me phrase it this way. And, you know, I can't show you a scripture that would say it exactly the way I'm saying it, but I believe that the things I'm saying are scripturally correct and accurate. But I'll just present this to you as andiology, and you can think about it yourself. But in my study, there are three types of unbelief. The first type of unbelief that I would identify is an unbelief that comes through lack of knowledge or ignorance. You just don't know any better. You know what? If you don't know that it's God's will for you to be healed, then you're automatically going to have unbelief about it. You aren't going to believe for it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So how do you overcome unbelief that comes through just ignorance or lack of knowledge? Well, the way you overcome that is by the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And so you just tell a person the truth. And if they have a heart to receive it, they can automatically overcome the unbelief that comes through ignorance by just hearing the truth. Then there's a second type of unbelief that isn't a lack of knowledge, but rather it's wrong knowledge. It's wrong teaching. It's probably what I would be more appropriate to call disbelief. You are believing, but you're believing the wrong thing. You were taught the wrong thing. For instance, a person who believes that God doesn't do miracles today and has been taught that and is taught that miracles passed away and it's of the devil if you have miracles or speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, that's not unbelief in the sense that they aren't believing. They are believing, but they are disbelieving. They're believing the wrong thing. Now, the way you deal with that kind of unbelief is that you counter it with the truth of God's Word. It's basically the same thing. And it's harder to get a person delivered from that kind of unbelief because They have knowledge, but it's wrong knowledge. So instead of just telling them the truth, you have to counter the unbelief and get the unbelief out and then put the truth in. So it's kind of a two-step process. It's actually harder to get a person who's been taught wrong to believe than it is a person who hasn't been taught anything. But the answer is basically the same. You tell them the truth, and the truth sets them free. But then there's a third type of unbelief, and again, this is just my terminology, but it's what I call natural unbelief. In other words, this isn't coming from ignorance. It's not coming through wrong knowledge. It's just that, like, say, for instance, with these disciples, they were praying for this demon to come out of this boy. But instead of him looking delivered and free, if he did what he did when they brought him to Jesus, he fell on the ground and the spirit tore him and he began to convulse and foam at the mouth. And with their eyes and with their ears, they were seeing and hearing things that were contrary to what they had prayed. And so there was just naturally this thought that it didn't work. Instead of him better, he's worse. That's just a natural unbelief. It's not wrong in a sense. Your eyes and ears tell you, they feed you information from the natural realm, and you have to have that information. You can't just drive by faith. You've got to take this natural input and use it. It is not sin. It's not wrong to receive input from what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. But there are going to be times that what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel are going to be different than what God says. And when that happens, you have to be able to supersede those five senses and go by faith instead of what your senses tell you. And if you can't do that, your senses are going to tell you things that aren't necessarily wrong teaching or something. It's just natural stuff that will cause you to naturally disbelieve. Your body's going to tell you that you're hurt when the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. Now, are you going to be able to overcome those thoughts and that natural reaction of unbelief that nothing has happened? And are you going to be able to stand in the Word of God? Well, it depends on whether your heart is hardened towards the spiritual or whether it's hardened towards the natural. You know, we're drawing to a close on this teaching, and so I'm going to ask my announcer to share with you about how you can get this teaching on hardness of heart. I encourage you to take advantage of it and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK59 titled The Cure when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials. And it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.